Hey, Vinny, can you hear me?
You.
Okay, no intro for tonight's show. That's okay. Still got a lot to talk about since Vinny's last episode. What, the Jets were 4-1. The Mets lost the World Series, unfortunately. You know, NBA basketball starts. I'm pretty sure you're happy with Porzingis. I'm pretty upset with the Nets right now, who I believe are 0-8. They're just absolutely terrible. But, you know, we didn't talk about the Patriots game, obviously, me and Glenn did. Then we had the Raiders game, which we didn't have a show last week, which we're not even going to talk about. I think it was with 20 missed tackles in it, which is probably the worst tackling effort I've ever seen out of the Jets in the entire NFL. I believe it was the most missed tackles in a game this year. Absolutely dreadful game. Geno looked bad. I don't want to talk about that. So we're gonna move on to the Jaguars, Vinny, tonight, and then obviously we're gonna talk about the huge game in 2 days. You know, obviously we're going against the Bills, but you know, how you doing, man? We haven't heard from you on Jet Nation Radio in a while.
I know. I'm still depressed over the Mets. That was bad. I went to game four, Murphy. Typical Murph. That was bad. I'm still very depressed over those Mets. I mean, NBA. Hey, what do you do? I mean, at least the Knicks are looking all right. I mean, Porzingis will be nice in the future. But hey, it's all about the Jets right now, bud. You know, obviously that Oakland game was depressing. That was just they just weren't ready. Flat out, they just weren't ready. I think they overlooked the Raiders, to be honest with you. I feel like they're going to go in there and just get a cupcake of a win. Well, that obviously wasn't the case. The Raiders are much better. They've improved over the last few years, obviously, with Derek Carr. Derek Carr looks like he's the real deal. And Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, they have some guys over there. So obviously when you miss 20 tackles like that, when you just don't know how to wrap up, you try to hit a guy high and you don't even finish your tackles, that's just going to happen against any team in the NFL. So that was pretty depressing. And then last week, or you know, just a few days ago, wasn't pretty against the Jaguars. But hey, a win's a win. We'll definitely take it. Now we got, you know, can't really dwell on that too much because we have the Bills in 2 days here. And, you know, typical Rex stirring up the headlines, but I think the Jets will be ready for Thursday night, bud.
Yeah, the Raiders game, you know, DeMario Davis looked terrible. Marcus Williams looked terrible. And Cromartie got destroyed. Yeah, it was just a terrible game. Ready to go over that, you know, talk about the Jaguars game and the upcoming game against the Bills. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit sick. Hopefully, I'm not sick on Thursday. That'll suck, but I'm still going. I don't care if I have, you know, 125 fever. I'm still going to the Jets game. I really don't care. Unlike you last week, it's okay.
No, I had to work. Sorry, bud. The bad thing is, actually, I had to work at school. They said I was going to be at work until 2, but it actually turns out I got off at 12, so I really could have made the game, but I
It's
all right.
But let's start talking about the Jaguars game. Even though the Jets won, you know, final score 28-23, this definitely more of a negative than positive type of game for me. So let's start out. I guess we'll do the positives first, Vinny, because I feel like we're talking about the negatives after, so I don't get, you know, too mad and try to get happy and talk about the positives. So we'll do the positives first. There's not a, you know, huge list of positives. So let's start out today's show with 3 stars of the game, Vinny. Who do you got for your number 3 star?
My number 3 star, I'm giving it to Decker. He looked really good this game. What did he finish? I think he had close to 80 yards and a touchdown. You know, him and Fitz are, you know, they're
six
clicking.
Six receptions, 79 yards.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, Fitz and Decker, that back shoulder pass, they've been just working that to perfection this year. I think the one scoring drive, I think the one actually, the touchdown he had, that drive, he had that nice third down back shoulder throw that Fitz hit him on. And, you know, Eric Decker, when he's healthy, I think this guy is a top 20, top 25 receiver. You know, he can run all the routes. He can, he had a few slant catches for first downs. He's a, you know, a very reliable receiver. You know, when he's healthy and everyone's healthy on this offense, you know, I think he's a top 20 receiver. So, you know, he played really well. And, you know, I give him a number 3 star.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I had him as my number 2, but, you know, 6 receptions, 79 yards. He doesn't blow up the stat sheet. But, you know, key catches, he obviously had a touchdown again, which is sixth of the year in 7 games. So he's been very impressive. And it was funny, I remember we signed him and people were saying, you know, product of Peyton Manning, you know, he's going to be terrible for the Jets. You know, last year, Geno Smith had a terrible offense and an injured hand. He, He almost usually had like 967 yards. This year, I know it's half the season. We played 8 games, but if he keeps on his pace of 7 games, he's actually going to get over 1,000 yards, which would be nice because I remember in our prediction show, which I'll actually go back to at the end of the year, I said the Jets were going to have 2,000-yard receivers, and that looks like that actually might happen. So Decker was definitely – he had a good game. He had that one really nice catch where I believe it was a slant, and Fitz kind of put it in a bad area, but he jumped up and got it. So I definitely agree that Decker has been absolutely fantastic for the Jets. Very, very good number two. I don't like to get into the whole number one, number two thing, but let's just say he's, like you said, a top 25, 30 receiver, whatever you want to say. But I would put him in that range. I think he's definitely a key piece of this offense. Vinny, who are you getting for your second star, man?
My second star, originally I was going to go with Marcus Williams, but I just had a late change of heart. I'm going with Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick, hey, Chris Ivory, I think the total ground game, he had 29 yards on the ground, I believe. Something terrible. This is a game where, Fitz had to carry this offense, and mistake-free football is what he did. He made the plays when he had to, and, he got 28 points against a bad Jacksonville team that really stopped our run. That was obviously the key to the game. When our offense, usually any other team, if our run game gets under 30 yards, I think we're going to lose the game. But this is a game where Ryan Fitzpatrick, say Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a pick or two, and even one turnover, this game could have ended, and it would have Jets lost. So I think Ryan Fitzpatrick really controlling the game, making some really nice throws. That late throw to Brandon Marshall was just, that was really nice. One-on-one coverage, Brandon Marshall, he's gonna make everyone pay when you do one-on-one coverage against him on the outside. So I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, he didn't really do too much on the run, running the ball like he's been doing the previous, obviously, with the thumb injury. But I think, especially with the thumb injury, coming into the game, didn't know how that thing was going to react. He played really well, obviously, when you have a healthy Decker and a healthy Marshall. And, hey, you know what, going back to the tight ends, hey, Jeff Crumlin, nice little 44-yard catch. That was nice to see. Then, when you have all the weapons and give Fitz some time, he's going to make the plays. And he made all the plays that, the Jets needed to do to get a win. Thank God the Jets got that win. That would have been a season crippling loss, if they lose to Jacksonville at home, especially with this game coming up in 2 days.
Yeah, that's funny that you mentioned that. And I know it's only halfway through the season, but if the Jets are going in – the halfway mark, 4-4, you have the Bills coming up, you still have the Dolphins. I know you have some easy games, like the Titans and things like that, but if you look at the last three games, you have Dallas, you have New England, or New England, Dallas, then Buffalo, I believe it is. So their schedule wouldn't, be too easy for it to come out, 4-4, and then come out to get a wild card spot, even though the Chargers are 2-7. You have the Raiders who, are up there, but I think they're going to fall apart a little bit. They're still a young team, but like we saw a couple weeks ago when the Jets played them, they have guys like Khalil Mack, who's going to be a pro baller. If not this year, he's fantastic. You have Alden Smith. You have Charles Woodson, who's at the ageless wonder, just continues to be, to play very well at a really, old age. You have guys like Derek Carr. You have guys like Amari Cooper. So, they're definitely a good team. Kind of same thing with the Jaguars a little bit. They have some young guys. They have Allen Hurns. They have Allen Robinson. Blake Bortles, who makes some really nice throws, especially deep down the field, and that's where a lot of their plays came from chunk yards and things like that. But I agree. Fitzpatrick, I think this is one of his best games. This is his first game without a turnover the entire year. Obviously, he didn't have a turnover against Raiders, but he went out after the first drive. Obviously, tore a ligament in his left thumb, and we'll see if he gets surgery on Friday. We'll see what's reported. We'll see how that goes. I heard that if he gets the surgery on Friday, he'll be able to come back the next week, going into Houston against the Texans. So we'll see what happens with that. But 21 for 34, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns. There's going to be every single game where you're going to see him miss a throw, put a ball in a bad spot, not have enough arm power. But he's getting it done, especially since the bye. He's been playing pretty well. The Patriots game, he played very well. I thought he did enough to win that game. I think it's the defense's fault. The Raiders game, he obviously wasn't in there. And then, Jaguars game, he played very well. So, and on top of that, Gus Bradley has a pretty good defensive line. So I agree with you on Fitzpatrick. But my second star, or actually my third star, was the guy who you said before, Vinny, Marcus Williams, who last week against the Raiders, he just looked terrible at safety, missing tackles left and right. He probably had like six.
Yeah, six missed tackles.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. So it was a terrible game for him, but at corner,
he's
been playing very well, especially Cromartie going down. Cromartie, who in the beginning of the season, looked well. After the Patriots game, he had a good game at the Patriots too. And then, Oakland, he got destroyed. The Jaguars gets destroyed, but, he's in one of my duds, so I'll talk about him in a little bit. But Marcus Williams, four picks on the year, has played a very low number of snaps. They have went up in the last couple of weeks just because of really big injuries. Obviously, we see how important Calvin Pryor is to this defense. And like I said a couple of times, I love to say I told you so, Jeff fans, that he is going to be a player. And we've seen what the absence of Calvin Pryor has done to this defense. But, Marcus Williams, what do you think about his game?
Yeah, I think he played all right. I mean, the first pick that was on Revis, there was a ball. Me and you could have caught that. But that last pick, that was a really nice job on his part. It wasn't even his guy. He, read the quarterback's eyes, especially when they're that deep in the end zone or that deep in the part of the field where the quarterback's thrown from the goal line. He made a nice play with only 40 seconds left to seal a victory. Marcus Williams, we're gonna need him to step up, especially when you have guys like Deion Bailey going down. That's how deep our defensive secondary is. We have a lot of guys who can just step in and make plays, Marcus Williams being one of them, especially like you said before, after a terrible game. Six missed tackles last week at Oakland. If he has another bad game, who knows? He could have got cut. That's just the way this business works. If you string a few bad games together, you're not going to be playing long. So, for him to, string along a nice game, get the two picks, now he leads the team in interceptions. It was really, really nice to do. Now we got Bills this week. Sammy Watkins, I don't expect him to be on him, but you never know what's going to happen with that. Marcus Williams, we've seen what he can do last year when he had given opportunity. Given the opportunity again this year, he's making some plays.
Yeah, no, he was definitely one of John Isaac's only good moves. There's some other moves that, he did pretty well with, Decker and things like that. I don't want to get into John Isaac. But, yeah, definitely don't. I already feel sick. I don't want to throw up on my cell phone. But Marcus Williams, Decker, Fitzpatrick. Vinny, who is your number one star of the game? And I'm pretty sure I know who it is. And let's refrain from the phrase "my boy," because it seems like every time we say "my boy," they either get suspended or cut or play really badly. So refrain from saying "my boy."
All right. Well, I'm gonna say your boy one time because your boy is the captain for the Bills this week. But anyways, my number one star is Lorenzo Walden. Only 19 snaps, getting two sacks on the quarterback, rushing Blake Bortles all day. The defensive line really saved the game, in my opinion, because our secondary just looked pretty brutal last few weeks against some young quarterbacks.
Two young quarterbacks. Obviously, Tom Brady was there, but, Glenn actually wrote an article on it earlier today, and said three games, the passing defense has given up 1,008 yards. It's just disturbing.
Yeah, man. When we don't get pressure on the quarterback, it's going to be a long day. That's how it's been the last three games, obviously. And we got to Bortles a lot this game. I don't know how many times we hit him, but it feels like every play, even when he was making throws, we were getting him on the ground. But he had 381 passing yards. That was just against a team. Well, that invested this much money into the secondary for a guy like Blake Bortles to throw to Allen Hurns, now Robinson. Hey, there's two up and coming receivers, but if you're telling me that that's gonna happen against Revis, Cromartie, Screen, and all those guys, I would be telling you you're crazy. But obviously it happened. But getting to the quarterback is the name of the game. That's how you beat the big quarterbacks. And Lorenzo Malden, only 19 snaps. I think Quinn Coble's played under 10. I think it was like 8 or 9 snaps. So hopefully Malden, 2 sacks and 19 snaps, if he plays, 40 to 50, whatever snaps, a full-time outside linebacker can get, who knows what this kid can do. Again, he's only a rookie. Thank God he didn't, that injury, we were there a few weeks ago and we thought he was done for the year. Now he's coming back and, getting 2 sacks, halfway through the season. Hopefully he gets some more playing time, the last 8 games of the year. Obviously this year you got to separate yourselves from the contenders to from the pretenders to the contenders. Hopefully this week we can see Malden, knock down everyone in the Bills backfield, because they got 3 guys who can run the ball. They got Carlos Williams, Michelle McCoy, and their quarterback. They all can run the ball. The quarterback has over 230 yards. on the ground. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens against a speedy team like the Bills. But my number one star is gonna be to the kid from Louisville, Malden. Let's hope he can do it again.
Yeah, it was confusing. I believe that me and Glenn talked about this either last week or a couple of weeks ago when we were doing the quarterly grades for the Jets. But I think it was Mike Westhoff on one of those Jets shows he does that was saying, that Lorenzo Malden is a bust and he just doesn't see it. I'm like, dude, he's a third round draft pick and he's played a couple of games. You know, people are kind of calling Calvin Pryor. People are calling Calvin Pryor, who was a first round pick, a bust after his first year, and then he's pretty much shut him up this entire year, so it's a little bit premature to say a third-round draft pick is a bust. I think it's kind of absurd that people can even say that. But, you know, what do you say, 19 snaps, you know, he had two half sacks, one sack by himself. He had two quarterback hurries or hits. Hopefully he can be that edge rusher that we need. Obviously, Calvin Pace is getting older. Quinton Coples is Quinton Coples. But you saw Malden bend the edge, you know, get to the quarterback. He had some nice pass rush moves, and, you know, you said that they hit a quarterback a lot, but kind of just like the Patriots game where the Patriots throw the ball very, very quickly, actually the quickest in the league. I'm not too sure how much of that pressure came because the Jaguars, like I said before, are a vertical passing offense, obviously, when you're running the vertical routes, it's going to take longer to get the ball out of Blake Bortles' hands. So I'm not sure how much of it was really that, but overall, I would like to see more from the pass rush. You know, you have Wilkerson, who has – he has what, like six
yeah,
sacks
no,
right now?
Yeah, no, Wilkerson leading a team of five sacks. That can't happen if you're, you know.
Okay.
You can't have,
yeah,
you
so
can't
five,
have leading sacks. You can't.
So five sacks. You have Shelvin, who has, I believe, 2.5. Malden has 2 now. You know, the team hasn't got a lot of sacks, so I would like to see more pressure on the quarterback, especially in the entire offseason. I mean, you were talking about, you know, that the quarterback is going to have to hold the ball for an extra second or two because of the secondary, and we're going to get more pressure. But the Jets this year so far are probably on pace for less sacks than they got last year. And Todd Bowles blitzes all the time, so I don't understand what exactly it is with the lack of pressure when there's been games this year, Vinny, where you were seeing league-high numbers with, you know, 59% of dropbacks. Tony was blitzed, and I know Derek Carr was blitzed a lot. I forget the exact stat, but they're blitzing a lot, so let's see some more pressure to the quarterback. And, you know, I hate to say it, but we talk about outside linebacker all the time, but, how much of an impact would a guy, I don't want to mention Justin Houston or Von Miller, but even, like, a Paul Kruger or one of those guys make on the team right now. But, Malden, hopefully this is coming out party. Hopefully he steps it up. But, you know, coming off of that, Vinny, I asked about a couple of weeks ago and we both agreed, you know, is it time to call it quits on Quinton Coples?
I'll put it this way. If he's getting under 10 snaps a game and he's doing nothing with those snaps, how much time can you give this guy? Especially in games you need to win. You know, there's only 8 games left in the season. There's no more time, you know, to figure out, is Quinton Coples going to be good? This is, what, year 5 of the Quinton Coples project? The guy, let's be honest, he can't do anything. He can't rush the quarterback. He makes a few nice plays every time a guy runs into him. That's the only time you ever see him get a tackle or make a play when the ball is right in front of him. I think of that fumble recovery, week 1 or week 2, whatever, when the ball was literally on the ground right in front of him. But, I mean, he's just been doing nothing, man. He's just – it's a head-scratcher on Quinton Coples because you see what he did in college. You thought that would translate at least, you know, some of it to the NFL. Nothing has translated. He's shown some sparks here and there. But this year, talk about a total, total waste, really, of Quinton Coples this year. Just a waste of a roster spot. And if he's only been playing, again, around 10 snaps a game, how much can you really expect from a guy? So I think, Coach Bowles, he knows what he's doing. With that, I hope, Lorenzo Malden, like you said, hope if this is a coming out party, then I think it's definitely time to say goodbye to Quinton Coples. It's just, again, in games you got to win. You can't have guys who aren't going to do anything out there on the field. Calvin Pace is a better pass rusher than Quinton Coples, by a large stretch right now. And he's, what, 10 years older than him?
My 6-year-old cousin is probably a better pass rusher than Quinton Coples right now.
I mean, it's like I don't understand the guy. The only thing that he's done productive this year was that Instagram video that the Jets put up for Monday Night Football when we went to the Jet Colt game. That's the only thing he's going to be known for this year when he was doing the Monday Night Football theme. That's the only thing I'm going to remember Quinton Coples for, because he certainly hasn't lived up to that first round draft pick.
Yeah, no, and this is year 4 of the project. Obviously, the Jets picked up the 5th year option for him next year. I think they did pick up the fifth-year option for next year, which is $7.6 million. But they can cut him and, you know, get that money back, you know, with no penalties on the cap. So he's gone after this year. It's pretty much time to say it. Halfway through the season, we've seen absolutely nothing from him. Not even effort at times. It's just the only time I remember seeing him is we got that the unnecessary roughness against Andrew Luck when we lose to Indy. But you know, we'll talk about other positives. Any we talked about, you know, Fitzpatrick and Decker and Molden, Marcus Williams. Honestly, there's not too many. I can say maybe one or two more. And while Ryan Quigley is in my negatives for some of the punts that he shanked, he is in my positives the fact that he came in, I believe, on four extra point field goals. And he made them, so I give him a, you know, a little gold star next to his name. I like the Jets' red zone offense still, which is actually ranked number one in the NFL, which was a complete turnaround from last year, where I believe they were actually 32nd, you know, dead last in the NFL. Every time the Jets get into the red zone, I pretty much have a lot of confidence that they're going to score, whether it be, you know, a fade to Marshall or a slant to Decker, which is why. The Patriots team is so confusing today, which we didn't get to talk about. You know, you throw a fade, Jeff Cumberland, and, you know, slant to Owusu, who Owusu is now off the team because he suffered a sixth concussion. I think it's pretty much time to nail his coffin in. Other positives, you know, Quigley, the red zone offense, and I think that Sheldon Richardson had a nice game, even though he didn't blow up the stat sheet. You know, four quarterback hurries, three QB hits, three run stuffs. I think he had a pretty nice game, but that's really it for the positives for me, man.
Ooh, yeah, positives wasn't pretty, man. That was a hard game to watch. I'm happy I wasn't there. That might have
ended up. That's why, but it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Might end up ugly. Jets lose that game. Safe to say, that would have been a brutal ride home with you. But yeah, it was ugly to watch. But hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he stepped up. He made some plays that, you know, against a team that hasn't won a road game in over thirteen or fourteen games. The Jaguars last time they won a road game, so that would have been bad, especially again with the schedule up ahead when you had the Bills at home. If you can beat the Bills this week, that's essentially getting yourself a bye with 10 days off to get, you know, ready for the last 7 games of the year, try to get everyone healthy. That's why that game was obviously a must win after that debacle in Oakland. So coming up, I mean, there wasn't that many positives, but hey, you can't dwell on that. Like the Jets players have been saying, they're ready on to Buffalo. I think like Dusable and a few other guys are saying they're watching film on the Buffalo Sunday night, even
though,
you know,
they are.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but not a lot of positives, and just my first negative that I'm going to give out, and we're going to do three duds of the game. I'm going to give my number one dud, who is not a player on the team, but I'm going to have to say that Jets fans this year have been terrible. And, you know, if you're one of those fans who goes and screams and stuff like that, you know who you are. I'm not insulting Jets fans, but to go to a game and it's happened to me a couple times. Like, we stand up on third down. They tell you to get up on third down on the PA announcer, so I don't understand why people don't get it. I got told like three or four times on third down, can you please sit down? And you know what happens when they ask me to sit down, I just stand up more, because if you're a Jets team, you want to sit down and you want to fling through Twitter and look on Instagram at, you know, the girls' Halloween pictures who are hot, who you saw, you know, go back to them, touch yourself in the bathroom. Whatever you're doing, don't go to Jets games if you're not going to yell, if you're not going to pass, you're not going to clap, or if you're not going to even pay attention to the game, because either people are sitting down on their phones, or there's a guy who is extremely intoxicated in front of us who wasn't even watching plays, you know, would clap after the play when he didn't even watch it. Just fans, you have been miserable this season. You guys, I remember I used to go to a kid, and I'm sorry to go on a rant here, but we used to go and say, wow, man, this stadium is the loudest thing I've ever heard. You know, I've been to other games and things like that. And in the past couple of years since Spider-Man left because of idiots, a la Jets fans, most of you, sorry, ran him out of town, basically. The stadium atmosphere has been terrible. It's very, very embarrassing. And if you're one of those Jets fans who goes to the games and doesn't cheer, I'm talking to you. You are an embarrassment to me, and you ruined the game day experience. Getting off that vein, I'm sorry. It really, really pisses me off going to games and nobody's cheering. You know, you would have been mad too, because Marcus Williams gets the pick to end the game, ice the game, and there's like three people in our section who get up and cheer. I was like, are you seriously kidding me? It's just, it's really absurd.
That is.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to make myself any more angry, but we can talk about this more Thursday. If there's not fans there on Thursday when the tickets are like $35 and people aren't cheering, they're sitting on their phones at a huge division game, Rex Ryan coming back, I seriously hate all of you. But three duds of the game, Vinny. I'll start with mine since I'm already on a huge negative spin, you know, spiral down right now. Since the last couple of games, and actually, Vinny, before we go into the three duds of the game, we're going to bring on Josh, who wants to talk about the Jags, the Jags game, and then the Jets versus the Bills. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Sorry, I haven't been calling in. Been too busy working. But now
good,
I got
man.
Time.
Hey,
got a problem. You still need to call more than Vinny does.
Well, hey, all I have to say about Jacksonville game, it's not what you really want, but it's a win. So that's a plus on the plus side. But what I've seen, I kind of seen a different line. There's plays like you could somewhat try to blame it on Chris Ivory, but come on, when you have your fullback bending that side, trying to double team someone not bending that side for, to knock a linebacker or you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't see
no
block
push,
protection.
No push.
Yeah, no push. It's like, I understand he could bounce like a pinball, but come on, you got to block the man before he could do something. Like, every play, I see him trying to, like push a big pile, and it's like, come on, man. Help your teammate out. And everybody hurt.
Yeah, trying to do too much. No, trying to weigh too much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, no Nick Mangold, I think, hurt a lot that game.
Oh, dude, that's another thing I was going to get into. And the biggest part, and yes, I'm going to say this about – I'm going to talk a little bit about this with Buffalo as well. But the biggest part is injuries. We got hit with an injury bug, and if Jet fans don't realize that and they want to just sit down and text and game day just because the team not performing how they should be performing, well, look at the roster. Yes, we got injuries and we still won the game. You kind of get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, hey, a win's a win, definitely take a win,
One is the one. And Jacksonville, I feel like they have this is a new age.
Mm-hmm.
All the teams that we used to go into the playoffs back-to-back-to-back, they just getting older. And a team like Jacksonville probably going to surprise us in a year or two. Same with, like, all the other younger teams coming up. So, like, offensively, I see stuff that I like from them. Defensively, our issue is, yes, Pryor, he's hurt. He's a big difference maker. He's MVP. He's our strong safety. He's MVP. He's hurt. And you see what happened in the Patriots game. Gronk couldn't get scored nothing. That one play that got Pryor hurt. Tom Brady lobbed the ball up. Both of them went up for the ball, and Gronk fell on top of Pryor.
That was actually Scott Chandler, but no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, my fault.
Yeah, gotcha. No, I'll go now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when he fell down, after the play he fell, then he let the next play start, that's when I see we done have problems. As you see, every single time they try to pull someone, they will hold that position. Look what happened. Todd Bowles need to actually see what look what he's doing. Try to patch something up. You get what I'm saying? Like, our defense, they need to get together, but the injury bug is actually hitting them harder at key positions. Like, no one throwing near Revis' side, but Revis can't guard the person forever. You get what I'm saying? Also looking around, trying to make a turnover as well. It's like, you know what I'm talking about. What you think about that before I get into Buffalo?
Yeah, no, obviously, the Jets had a lot of injuries. You guys are talking about Willie Colon was out, and we were crapping on him all during the offseason, actually hoping he wasn't back on the team. But you see the different teammates. Brian Winters was completely destroyed that game, was always pushed back. So you see the difference that Colon makes, and I don't think he's in the middle of play for Thursday, which is a huge negatives. Obviously, yep. Nick Mangold getting replaced by Wesley Johnson. Now everybody says, well, center's not that big of a position, and all of these things, but you see how big of a difference Nick Mangold makes.
Yeah, right.
Fitzpatrick calls him the smartest guy on the team for a reason. He calls out defenses. He calls out coverages for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they talk about it. So going from his knowledge and experience in the NFL to Wesley Johnson, who is getting his first snaps as a center in the NFL, the past couple of weeks, you know, there's a huge difference. But at the same time, I do agree with you, the Jags are one of those up-and-coming teams. You know, I still think they finish, you know, 5-11 or whatever this year. But just like the Raiders, you know, I think in a couple of years they'll be one of those 7-8-9 wins, especially if Blake Bortles continues to develop with those two awesome receivers they have on that side. But the thing with the injuries is, you know, I understand it's a win, and obviously we in a short little preview of the show, you're going to say, you know, it's a win. But at the same time, a lot of teams have injuries. You see the Patriots getting a whole bunch of people injured. All the good teams have huge injuries. You know, it happens, but it's about the depth. And the Jets have been pretty bad or much below their average play, at least the first couple of games, these last couple of weeks. And I want to get over the injuries. I understand Calvin Pryor's a big injury and things like that. But to beat a Jags team, like Vinny said, is terrible on the road, and they have been for years and years. You know, they need to play better than that. Cromartie can't be playing 10, 15 yards off of Allen Hurns and give up a double move deep touchdown before the first half ends. You know, it's just the defense has been pretty embarrassing, especially when we talk about it as the number one, number two, number three defense. And you make the point about the O-line, and I understand that, you know, Ivory wasn't good this game either, but when you're getting hit and your first contact is, you know, 2-3 yards deep, you know, what are you going to do? But the last couple of games, 17 carries for 41 yards, 15 for 17, 23 for 26. And 23 for 26 is actually, I believe, the lowest amount of yards for 23 carries, like, since the NFL merger. So it wasn't just Ivory. It was the offensive line. It was really, 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 really embarrassing that we're having historical stats against Chris Ivory, who, you know, he's a very good runner. He still is. But the offensive line hasn't been opening up holes at all. So all factors being happy better before Buffalo, because the first thing I said after walking out of that game and after the final knee was, if we play like that against Miami, Buffalo, the Cowboys, the Patriots, any of the other teams, the New York Giants, we're going to lose the game. So I'd like to see an improvement even with the injuries. Vinny, what do you think about that, man?
Yeah, I mean, a win's a win. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. I'll take any win by any way we can get it, especially – again, with only 8 games left in the season, when we're fighting for a wild card spot, because let's face it, the Patriots might have a good chance of going 16-0. They're going to win at least 14 games this year. So obviously, the division, we're 3 games out of the division. I mean, I don't think there's a chance we, you know, come back for a division.
No.
Hey, hopefully I'm wrong on that. But hey, exactly. So we're fighting for a spot. That's why last week's win is huge. You got Buffalo, who's starting to heat up a little bit. LeSean McCoy starting to get going. Carlos Williams, they have a nice, thunder and lightning duo back there in the backfield. But, you know, that Jacksonville game, how you can't have Allen Hurds and Allen Robinson going over 100 yards. Revis was looking – it wasn't looking good. And, I mean, none of their defensive backs really looking good, with the exception of Marcus Williams making a few plays. Screen made a couple plays, but he got beat on a few as well. I mean, the whole secondary as a unit just looked dreadful. It was just, you know, a good thing that our defense got back there, you know, hit Bortles around, you know, make him throw some errant balls. That got intercepted by Marcus Williams, you know, luckily with that sack fumbled, and they muffed the punt. So, you know, I'll take the victory no matter what. But we need to get our offensive line going, because again, Chris Ivory is our guy. He's like Brandon Marshall said at the beginning of the year, our offense goes through Chris Ivory. When he's not getting going, and he has 26 yards. if we played like that against any team, I'm surprised we actually got a win against any team in the NFL. You're not going to win. That's just a matter of fact. When you get under 30 yards rushing for the game, you're not going to win a football game, you know, in the NFL. So Josh, you know, coming into Thursday night, you know, Jets Bills. What are you feeling, bud?
All right, how I feeling about the Jets and Bills? Well, thank you, Rex Ryan, for being the old Rex Ryan and amping up the Jets right now. I feel like this game going to be a real different game than a lot of people don't expect, especially for the simple fact that he's not being a – professional coach. He's more mm-hmm. being a troller. I mean, you get what I'm saying? A taunter.
Yep.
And us as Jets fans, we know that more than anybody. All you doing is just pumping up the other team. And how I felt coming into this game, all Todd Bowles have to tell the guys, they done throw penalties like crazy because they let the emotionals get to them. All we got to do is just play a clean game and just play with the – go with the game plan. Switch off the game plan when have to, but just go with the game plan.
Mm-hmm. Now, Josh, I just want to be quick. With IK being the captain for the Bills, who would you send out? Would you send out Geno Smith out there to be the captain?
No.
No, to be honest with you, I would put Fitzpatrick in there. And the reason why I would put Fitzpatrick in there, it's just a simple fact, like, okay, I see what you do. You want to be a joke and livestock? Fine. Make this guy into a captain. Fitzpatrick just doesn't make him look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He really didn't look that good with us. When he was playing with us, I see him, potentially do something with a hot head that he had. But it's just a simple fact that now you got this guy, made him into a captain just because he punched Geno Smith in the face, pretty much fit into all Jets fans as a last laughstock. And then I read a comment I'm not remembering what the comment, but it was an insulting comment that he made. It was a comeback comment with Pryor. Him and Pryor got into some words, but it's just that the simple fact that I understand you're trying to put pressures off of your team, but now you're just making yourself look dumb. And I know y'all need to let the show keep on rolling, so I'm just going to say I have a feeling that the score going to be I have the feeling that the score going to be 14-10. We done win by penalties, and it's going to be a defense game.
I like it. 14-10. I like it.
As long as the win, I'll take it. 14-10 will definitely be a very, very ugly game, and I can see it with all the Jets injuries, with Rex Ryan playing a Thursday night game. After a big divisional win, I can see his team coming out completely flat. We're going to get into that in a little bit, Vinny, but Josh, we definitely appreciate the call. Hopefully we hear from you again soon, and hopefully you're not too busy with work so you can get on the phone, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, then have a good day, and go Jets.
Go Jets, baby. Thanks for
having me. Have a good one, man. Thanks for calling in. Okay, so Vinny, let me say real quick, you're baiting people with that question that if Todd Bowles ran out Geno as the only captain to face IK, I would literally have to shoot him with an arrow or something, or just go on the field and just drop kick him or something, because everything that he's done positive would be wiped out by saying Geno out there. So
yeah, that would tarnish everything he's done.
Gotta get the
opinion.
We're gonna do three duds of the game. I'm gonna go through all three of mine. We only have 20 minutes left. Obviously, Vinny has something else that he needs to do for school, so we're going to have a little bit shorter of a show than we usually do into next week. But my three duds, I'm gonna give one to Bowles, actually. The last couple of games, I think a little bit of his coaching flaws have come out, especially with time management. The fact that the Jets had the ball, what was it, the 20-yard line, a minute and 30 seconds left, three timeouts against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who aren't the best defense in the league. It's not, they're a middle of the pack kind of defense. He saw the mistake with the Patriots where he ran, and then the Patriots almost scored, or they did score a field goal, I believe, right before the half. So he makes the same mistake again, runs the ball when the running game has been absolutely pitiful the entire game. The Jaguars get the ball back, and then obviously Cromartie gets beat on a double move like he almost always does. It seems like at least these last couple of games. So Bowles definitely gets a dud for me. He hasn't been as impressive to me as much as he was in the first couple of games. I understand he's a first-year coach, and some of that will change. I think he'll really look back at his stuff, these coming weeks and even after the season and say, this star should manage this star should manage that. He's going to make mistakes like we've been talking about, the entire year before this football season actually started. So Bowles gets a dud. The offensive line, it was terrible. Chris Ivory, 23 rushes, 26 yards, constant pressure. No push at all. The Brickershaw Ferguson gets destroyed. It seems like every game he's just getting just taken back, not able to hold his ground, even in the pass game. You know, at least a couple of years, or last year, he was decent in the pass game, just really bad in the run game. This year, he's been really bad at both. I just, we're going to talk about it a lot in the offseason. I do not think he deserves $14 million from the Jets. He has to reduce or hopefully we can find a replacement because he has been a bottom-tier left tackle in this league. And, you know, if you don't believe me, you're like, oh, they're bringing Shaw Ferguson. He's one of the best Jets ever. Well, go look at the film from the last couple of games and tell me how good he really is because he's been getting embarrassed almost on every other couple of plays. My number one star is the guy Cromartie, who, like I said, the first couple of weeks looks very, very good. And then these past couple of weeks is another guy who, if he keeps playing like this, I can't see him with the team this year unless he severely reduces his number. You know, like I said, you're giving Allen Hurns 10-yard cushion, and you know they're going to try to go for the end zone. You know, they're one of those teams that takes shots down the field right before halftime, and you fight for the double move. He doesn't have the speed he did when he was 25 years old, and he gets beat by Allen Hurns, making it 10-14 before halftime. Safe to say, I was severely depressed before that happened, or after that happened. But Vinny, who are your three duds, man?
So this was truly hard to pick out three guys because the list could have been anywhere from, I don't know, 10 to 30. It was that bad of a performance from the, you know, from basically everyone except a few handful players that we went over. But my number three dud, I guess I'm going to give it to Wes Johnson. I'm a split between Wes Johnson and really everyone on the offensive line because that was atrocious. I mean, Fitzpatrick with nine fingers, you know, with no thumb, really had to make some moves in the pocket. Like that Decker touchdown, he really had to move around. And I know, luckily the guy thought he was going to run, so he came in. Decker's wide open. That was nice. You know, getting the ball quick out of his hands is what Fitz does, you know, usually in this game especially so, because that offensive line was getting beat. Like I said, Brick was getting beat. This was probably James Carpenter's worst game. I saw him just get beat time after time again. Especially every time they run the ball, as soon as they snap the ball, there was two, three guys in the backfield. Yeah, Chris Ivory could have had a, you know, minus 29 yards. That's how bad this offensive line played. They really played at a terrible level. They were playing at a preseason level. It looked like our second, third string offensive line was in. So that was atrocious to see. The secondary, headlined by Cromartie and Screen. I think this was Screen's worst game too. This was just a bad all around game. We're just, again, very fortunate to get the win and to move forward from it. I think I would give my number two to Buster Screen. I know he got beat on a touchdown. I saw him get beat a few plays. Him and then Cromartie, like you just said, he just looks at the quarterback. You know, that's how he's been so good in this league. But again, like you just said, he doesn't have that speed he once did where he can afford to make, you know.
You hear about Cromartie a lot that he looks at the quarterback, he's reading the quarterback's eyes, but if the quarterback kind of tricks him with his eyes, you know, he tries to make those big plays, those interceptions to look at the quarterback. But the thing with Cromartie in the past is he can make those plays, and then when he gets beat down the field or somebody, you know, runs right by him on a seam, he has the makeup speed to make up, but now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's showing a lot this year.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, you know, like Josh was saying, the up-and-coming teams, well, they're up there now. There's no, you know, every team is up-and-coming right now. You know, we thought that the Raiders would be a pushover game for us, that we get a nice, easy victory. But Derek Carr it's only his second year in the league, but he's playing like a seasoned vet, tearing up the Jets' secondary. Same thing with Blake Bortles, over 380 yards passing to two very young receivers who can make plays, and they made plays on the supposedly the best cornerbacks in the league. With, you know, Revis was getting beat a few times. He made a few good plays, though. He's going to make, you know, Revis is Revis. You know, he's going to have those games where he gives up 50 yards, 60 yards, but then he's going to have games when the Jets need a win, he buckles down. Like he made that play in the first, the first quarter with Marcus Williams pick. That was just a great, Revis play right there. So they have an interception, but these guys, they need to step up. Hopefully Calvin Pryor gets healthy quick. Again, that's why this game against Buffalo is huge, because if they can get this win at home, hopefully, like he's opened up the show with, the Jets fans are loud and giddy, and they should be for Rex Town. But hey, if it can happen, I think it's going to happen. I think you're going to be a little surprised by the turnout on Thursday night. And if they can get that, it's 10 days off. If we can get everyone healthy by the time next week, I think Houston is our next game after Buffalo. If they can get everyone healthy, 10 days to get Mangold back, you get Cologne, you get Pryor back, that's, you know, it's a whole different team for the last 7 games of the year. And if they can be, you know, in a pretty good position for a wild card spot. Who knows what this team can do some games. Who knows, maybe the Giants help us out, beat the Patriots, maybe they go on a little slump. Who knows what can happen. All we know is that the Jets have to win this game at home in front of your fans. Hopefully our fans are, you know, giddy up like we are. You know, it's a green out. It's a little Christmas coming in November with these hideous jerseys, in my opinion. It's going to be a sight in that field for sure. But, hey, let's go Jets. Let's get everyone healthy back. But, I mean, this offensive line and secondary really need to step up. 1,008 yards in the last three games. I mean, we're lucky we got one win out of that. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's a terrible stat. That has to be the worst stat I heard all season for this team, especially with, you know, $150 million or so invested into that secondary. You're telling me Derek Carr and Blake Bortles are going to bind for almost 800 yards against you? I would be speechless, and I am speechless, because that's a stat that should never happen, especially with this defensive line that we envisioned being a top five defensive line.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. The first couple of games, you know, you have the Browns who only scored 10 points against us, and then the Colts only scored 10 points against us. You know, held Andrew Luck in check, and I understand he's not even as good of a year as it usually does, but even the Philly game, we lost the game, they held the Eagles to 232 yards, you know, overall. Now they're just passing or running, you know. The defense has been pretty damn bad, and we'll see if Pryor comes back soon. I don't think he's going to be ready for Thursday, but he'll make a big impact. But still, there's no excuse for this secondary to look as bad as it did last year in these last three games. It really has looked terrible, didn't he? It looks like we're trotting out, you know, Darren Walls, Phillip Adams, and Marcus Williams in those starting corners again. But we have about 13 minutes left, so I'm going to run through some of this stuff quick, a little bit quicker. But Revis, there's a little bit of misconception there. You know, you saw Adam Robinson get a lot of yards, but after people actually broke down the film, Revis got targeted 7 times, 2 catches for 50 yards. So Revis didn't really have a terrible game. There were some times where he got beat, and there was a lot of times where he was in zone, and he kind of had a shorter zone, and then he kind of had the one play where Allen Robinson ran the double move. You know, Revis was with them, and then he saw Marcus Williams was there over top, so he just stopped running with them, and then obviously Marcus Williams gave up like the 40-yard catch. So Revis didn't really get burned too much, but I see your point. He hasn't been as good as he was in the first couple of games, at least he's had a couple of games. Negatives, though, Vinny, the first drive, you know, it happened again where the Jets go 3 and out. They punt it to right about the 50. The Jaguars gained 25 yards of offense and then have 3 points. Like, the special teams has been dreadful this year. I don't get it with the addition of all the depth the Jets have, a new, you know, heralded special teams coach. I don't understand what's happening, but it has been pretty miserable. And along with that, Vinny, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was me and you or me or Glenn, but I know I've mentioned it before, that Jeremy Curley has to stop fair catching the ball and at the 5 or 6 yard line. It's going to be, most of the time, 95% of the time, it's going to bounce out of the end zone unless they're right there to catch it when it comes down, or they're behind the ball and ready to deflect it. But Jeremy Curley catches the ball at the 5 yard line, fair catches it all the time when nobody is even close to getting the ball. So they have to, that's such a simple thing where you learn that in high school. If the ball in modern day, and we both live in modern day, if there was a punt, we didn't make teams punt. You know, we didn't make teams punt a lot, but you know, if the ball is going inside the 10-yard line, you don't catch it unless they're there to catch it. So I understand what the confusion is with that, but it's been terrible. We talked about the offensive line, Ivory. Very evident that Cohen and Mangold were out. Brickshaw was bad. Everybody was bad that game. We were trotting out Wesley Johnson, Brian Winters. You know, James Carpenter is the best guy on that line right now who's healthy. The Brickshaw, Ferguson, and Juk, I mean, you know, you're going to have some trouble. Cromartie, terrible game. I agree with you, Buster Screen. He hasn't looked healthy. He gave a couple big plays. He's been giving up a couple big plays, but he's been injured with his shoulders, hand, things like that. I think that's a part of it. When you said 1,008 passing yards in 3 games are pretty terrible. The clock management was terrible. The special teams are terrible.
Lucky we got a win. I don't know how we got a win after this last 2 minutes. So the Jets
won that game because Calvin Pace, the dinosaur, strip sacked Bortles, and they fumbled a kick return. Literally, the Jets had no reason to win that game. The Jets were outplayed. They just made rookie mistakes. You know, you see Bortles at one time throw the ball near his own end zone, actually almost had a safety, and the ball just goes behind them. You know, you had the muff punt, you had the fumble. The Jets were ridiculously lucky to get that game with a win, and it would have been an embarrassing loss. And I think that would have been almost the end of the Jets' playoff, you know, hopes, especially going to Buffalo a short week. You know, never say it's over, but you know, it would have looked almost over. The Jets' defense would have really been spiraling downhill. But any other negatives you want to hit on, maybe, because we do have to get into this Bills game a little bit at least.
Yeah, just to be quick, I mean, the game is won by getting to the quarterback and protecting the quarterback. The Jets did one of them are, you know, fairly decent. Their defensive line was, you know, they're going to make plays. When you have a defense line we have, they're going to make plays. But we're going to need that guy. We're going to need Mauldin, we're going to need Pace to get, you know, a sack or two every game. You know, there's going to be someone who has to get that pressure on the quarterback consistently. Again, hopefully Mauldin is that guy. I want to see that snap count, you know, double even. You know, give the guy 40 snaps and see what he can do. He had two sacks. A sack every ten snaps is what he was doing last game, so that's big. And then offensive line, I mean, it's just, you know, again, I can't emphasize it enough. If Chris Ivory isn't getting going, this Jets offense is not the same. When he's Chris Ivory, this is a totally different Jets offense. You know, that's my really two things, and obviously the secondary. I mean, there's, again, like you said, there's a lot of negatives. We can have 3 hours on all the negatives the Jets did, but hey. Can't dwell on that too much because, hey, got the victory, we'll take it. Hey, we played a lot better and got a loss, you know, like a Patriot game. There's been a lot of other games that, you know, Jets played much, 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 much better than this game and got a loss. So, hey, we'll take a victory. It's on to Buffalo, baby.
Yeah, like you said, this is a shorter show, but we could have talked about the negatives for a while. We're not going to be able to get to all the topics that we wanted to, Vinny. We'll talk about it next week. Obviously, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what is the leash for Crow, for him benching Williams, or to put in Marcus Williams. You know, a little quick tidbit is that Nick Folk, seeding on the IR, he signed Randy Bullock, and no, Vinny, I'm not happy about that because he's still a better kicker than Randy Bullock because Bullock is terrible. Next week, we're going to get into Kembrell Tompkins, who's been a very nice addition for the Jets, I think.
Very nice.
Jets, shout-out. You know, shout-out to the Jets. Please, God, activate Dee Milliner. I think it would be a mistake if they don't activate him by 4 p.m. tomorrow, and he can't play for the rest of the year. I think it would be a huge mistake because he does have talent. Can we finally see Stephen Ridley this game, Vinny? You know, he's been active. He was active for the Jaguars game. He hasn't got one rush. You know, Stacy's all right at best back. I'm not really a big fan, but Stephen Ridley would add much more to this offense than a Zach Stacy.
Yeah.
So let's see him, please. But getting into the Buffalo game, Vinny, typical Rex thing, you know, comes out, names IK captain. He looks like a complete idiot doing that. He in a league that really tries to, get away from domestic violence and all these things that happened, Greg Hardy beating people. And I said on Twitter, I don't root for injuries, but if that guy was to play the Jets and break his leg in half and bleed out, I really can't say I would frown.
We play him soon.
Yeah, we play them like week 15, right?
Yeah.
Making IK captain, Rex, you look like a 13-year-old girl who's still jealous of high school or something. So just please shut up. comes out today in his press conference in a Clemson helmet, saying a whole bunch of stupid things. He's still a joke, and it's just what it is. What do you think about Rex naming IK the captain?
I mean, again, like you said, typical Rex. It really is a disgrace to the league. A league that's trying, you know, you hear something every few weeks. This guy beat up his girlfriend, beat up his wife. This guy did that, DUI, drugs, marijuana, everything. And for Rex to really just, you know, IK, what, I mean, in any other profession, you punch a guy you work with, you're going to, you know, and you break his jaw, odds are you're going to be going to jail. Or you're out of a job.
Or not another team would sign you because you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, what does Rex do? He gives him a spot. He's making whatever he's making, $500,000 this year. And now, you know what? Let's rub it into their face and make him a captain of a team where he punched and broke the starting quarterback's jaw. I can't say that I'm surprised that Rex did it. I'm not surprised at all. Going back to when I asked Josh that question, I don't think Bowles is going to do anything like that. He's probably going to send out, he's probably sending out Randy Bullock. Who knows what he's going to do? But, I guarantee no Geno Smith is going to be out there. But Rex, hey, let's shut him up. Let's run the ball down his throat. Let's get Chris Ivory going. If they had Stephen Ridley in there, hey, who knows what can happen? You gotta get the ground game going. That's all we do know. You gotta get the ground game going, especially against the Bills. Open up the play action. Get Brandon Marshall and Decker. You know, keep them rolling. You know, Brandon Marshall, 730 yards. I mean, it's a great game. He's on pace. You know, close. You know, 1,500-1,600 yards this year. Hey, I'll take that in a minute. You kidding me? Get Brandon Marshall some jump balls. Give him, you know, let the guy do his thing. And I think the Jets can shut up Rex. You know, shut him up real quick. You know, I think we're going to go out there. I don't think it's going to be 14-10. I feel like it's going to be, you know, a lopsided game with a big Jets victory. I'm feeling it.
I disagree. But I do want to get to two more points, Vinny, before we head off. Overall, you know, what do you think of their roster? Because they have guys like Watkins. They have guys who isn't terrible. And Hogan, Robert Woods, Robert Goodwin. They have Clay as their tight end. Their offensive line is decent. Sorry, I'm echoing. You know, they have LeSean McCoy, Carlos Williams. They have Mario Williams on the defensive line, Kyle Williams, Darius, Jerry Hughes. They have some good linebackers with Manny Lawson, Preston Brown. You know, they have a good team. And then they have guys like Darby and Gilmore and Roby. You know, they have a good secondary too. So overall, you know, what do you think about this team overall?
I mean, on paper, when these guys are healthy, and they're healthy now, LeSean McCoy, especially LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins, when those two guys are healthy, I know Watkins had over 100 yards last game. I think LeSean McCoy had like a 60-yard touchdown run. So when these guys are healthy, this offense is nice. I mean, it's they have a lot of weapons. They have Carlos Williams getting going. He had over 100 yards and less than 10 carries last game. They got two guys who can run the ball. They got Sammy Watkins, who can take the top of his defense. They have Tyrod Taylor, who can run. Again, he's 431 rushing yards. And then you look at this defense. The talent is there. I mean, there's no denying that. That this defensive line is good. They have some good, like you said, they have a good roster. Just underachieving right now with Rex. You know, it's pretty funny because, you know, both defenses right now are underachieving a little bit. You know, with two guys, you know, with Rex and now with Coach Bowles, two defenses. You know, one of them is gonna have to get going in order for them to win this game. I don't see like a 35-32 game. I see like a 24-10 type of game where one defense really dominates. Hopefully that's the Jets. I mean, it really should be. You got to get Tyrod Taylor. Got to get these mobile quarterbacks on, you know, on the ground. You got to start hitting them very early. That's why I want to see Molden in there. But again, this Bills team, and when they're healthy, you know, Charles Clay is a nice, you know, he's leading their team in receiving. Well, you know, Sammy Watkins was hurt, you know, the majority of this year. Now he's back, and when he's healthy, he's one of the best. I mean, he's really an elusive, very quick, very fast, very strong receiver. So the Jets are going to have their hands full with all these guys healthy.
Okay, so I know you have to go in a minute, and I'll do my keys to the game actually after you leave. But before you have to go, give me your score prediction, and then give me some of the keys to the game. Though you just kind of did that a little bit.
Yeah, all right. You know, I think the Jets. This is a bigger game for the Bills than it is for Jets. But I really think the Jets go on there at home. I think they're going to be pissed off after the way they've been playing recently, mainly, you know, the Raiders and the Jags game. And, you know, really shut the Bills up. I think the fans are going to be – I know we're going to be there. We're going to be extremely loud. But I think that, you know, they're going to come up.
Me, you, and seven other Jets fans being loud.
I think the Jets win 27-10. The reasons being they're getting to the quarterback and they're going to be able to run the ball. And I'm predicting a bounce back game from Cromartie. I'm feeling he doesn't really have to do, you know, give me an interception or, you know, I'm not looking for any number stats. But I think Cromartie's going to have a good game. And I think the Jets win 27-10. You know, Chris Ivory is the key. If he gets going, this offense gets going, and this team gets going. So that's just the way it is. You know, that's the way they're set up. And yeah, I really think it's going to be a 27-10 victory. Jets get some early turnovers, force some turnovers, force some bad throws, and Chris Ivory has a bounce-back game, rushing for over 100 yards. But
awesome. All right, man. You have any last words for Jet Nation out there?
Just to reiterate your point from, you know, from earlier. Hey, Thursday night game, our only night game of the year at home. You got to get there. You got to be loud. I know me and you will be. So let's just say, just get on your feet. Right. Green out. You know, everyone wear green. I don't want to see no white nonsense. I don't want to see no Red Bills nonsense. I want to see all green. Everyone fired up. And hey, let's get a victory, bud.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, man. I'll talk to you later. I'll actually see you in a couple days.
All right, cool. Sounds good, man. Thanks everyone for listening. Peace.
All right, so that's obviously Vinny. You mentioned the green jerseys before. I think the green jerseys are Yeah, they're nice. They're the kind of the old Kelly Greens of like Joe Namath's time, not really the early 2000s, late 1990s kind of Kelly Green jerseys. But I still think they're pretty nice. I just don't like the fact that they're wearing green gloves, green sneakers, and I'm not a huge fan of the helmet, but it's whatever. It's, you know, not a big deal. But Vinny was talking about Cromartie playing, but unfortunately with the injury report, Cromartie is most likely out. Willie Colon is going to be out. Pryor is going to be out. Bailey is going to be out. And I believe Blau Powell is most likely going to be out of this game. So they're going to have to overcome these injuries. They're going to have to overcome, you know, the biggest one being Pryor. And then even the second stringer, Deion Bailey, who, you know, he's not Cam Chancellor or Earl Thomas, but he's still a decent backup. And he's played decently well for the Jets. But him compared to a guy in Lattes Miles who is strictly a run stuffer, and we didn't really see too much of that in the last game. I know he played almost, strictly special teams, but the safeties are weak right now. At least a strong safety is concerned. There's a lot of keys to this game. I think running screens like the Jets did versus the Jaguars is a big key to negate that pass rush, because if you try to sit back there in the pocket for, you know, an extended period of time, especially with Willie Colon being out and Darius being there and Kyle Williams and Jerry Hughes and Mario Williams, the pass rush is going to get to you. They're too good not to get to you, especially when you have a guy like the British Shaw Ferguson, who quite frequently just gets completely outpowered. And then you have a guy in Mangold who's going to play, but he's going to be hurt. You have a guy in, you know, Brian Winters, who got destroyed last game, basically all game, and Brown Giacomini is no Jets fan's favorite offensive lineman in the league. So you have to negate the pass rush by running screens and quick plays, quick slants, you know, whatever it may be. I like the fact that the Jets did get the screen game going, especially a little bit with Ivory. Got a couple of big plays. I believe actually two of them were for plus 20 yards. So I'd like to see that versus a ferocious Bills defense. I know they haven't been as great as they were made out to be before the season started, but they still have a lot of talent. And you know Rex Ryan is going to get those players fired up. Whether that's fire up to, you know, come out and play stupid and force mistakes and turnovers and things like that, like we've seen a lot with the Jets. I don't know if it's one of those games where you come out fired up in the divisional game against the Patriots and you win in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. But another thing is I think containing Tyrod Taylor on broken plays is very important, because it seems like a lot this year when the play is broken, when, you know, there's a missed sack or anything happens where there's an extended period of time, the quarterback holds the ball, there's either a guy who's wide open because our, you know, whether it be a running back or a tight end, because our linebackers are fast enough to stay on people for a long time. It seems like the other team always gets like a third down conversion or some type of big plays on broken plays. And let's face it, that's right. Tyrod Taylor will run the ball. I believe he has over 200 rushing yards this year, you know, alone. So contain him on broken plays, whether that's, you know, sending David Harris as a spy or containing him on the edges and making him at least run up the middle, not around on the sides of the tackle. So that's going to be a big key. I think if the Jets don't do that, they will most likely lose this game, because he's a very mobile quarterback. Lockdown Watkins is a very obvious one. Basically both of their weapons, you know, just like the Patriots do, even though the Patriots don't have as good of a defense as the Jets do, at least in talent-wise and in stats-wise, they're not as good as the Jets, but Lockdown Watkins, take away their number one option. I think Revis will do a pretty good job of that. He is still, you know, he's not 2009, 2010 Revis, but he's pretty close to it. He's been pretty damn good this entire year, so I think he'll pretty much stop or severely slow down Watkins. You know, only see him three receptions, you know, 35, 40, 50 yards. Even if it's 60 yards, I'll take it, because he's their number one option. Contain LeSean McCoy is pretty obvious, but I think contain LeSean McCoy in the way. I think they'll do it in the run game, because the defensive line is great. Or good. You know, it's not playing up to the great standard right now, but just like against the Eagles, when you saw Rashad, you saw Matthews and you saw Darren Sproles and those wheel routes and those screens and things like that, I think it's going to be very important to slow down their screen game and their little hook routes and their dump off passes to McCoy, because if you could put McCoy in open field, you know, I know he's not the old running back he's considered, top three in the NFL like he was a couple of years ago, but you put him in open space with a couple of blockers, he's going to make a big play. So limit him in the passing game and keep an eye out for him a lot on those broken plays as well, just like I mentioned with Tyrod Taylor. Another thing is don't get in the hole. I believe that to be, you know, very true, very big key to this game is if you get in the hole, if you're down, you know, 10-0 in the first quarter or 14-3 or whatever it may be, you're gonna let Rex Ryan do what he wants to do. And you see an offensive line who's banged up and who hasn't been playing the last couple of games. He's going to blitz, whether it be Manny Lawson or, you know, Kyle Williams standing up as a middle linebacker. He's going to send some exotic blitzes, and especially if the Jets get down early in this game, the Jets are going to see a whole bunch of blitzes for Rex Ryan. And a lot of people say, well, he didn't blitz a lot last year with the Jets, but look at the talent he had on the team. He had to get guys in the coverage, or the Jets wanted to be able to cover for, you know, over 2 seconds. So that's definitely a big key. Don't get down early. And for once, like me and Vinny talked about, 17 carries for 41 yards, 15 carries for 17, 23 carries for 26 yards. You know, get the run game going. I know it's going to be hard against this defensive front, but at least slightly where they can actually fear the run game a little bit. And it's, I understand it is ivory, but I think it's more geared towards the offensive line just playing absolutely terrible. A lot of this last couple of games against the Raiders, against even the Patriots a little bit, and obviously against the Jaguars. So get their run game going. Let's not be a one-dimensional offense that we have been in the past couple of games where we have to pass it to Marshall or to Decker. And Marshall did it, you know, four receptions, 44 yards last game. You know, everything he did wasn't in the snap sheet. I just want to mention it real quick. He had that Chris Ivory fumble recovery, which obviously ended up being the Jets punting it, and then one of their guys fumbling the punt return. You know, if he didn't do that, they would have had the ball at the 40 or 35-yard line. So big play by him, big touchdown catch. Even though it was a sketchy touchdown catch, I'm still not sure it was actually a touchdown. Obviously, I'm at the game, and I can't watch it on TV to see how close it actually was. But from my view, it actually didn't look like a catch. But he makes big plays all the time. He's just one of those guys. He's been injured. He looked injured last game. Hopefully he comes back a little bit healthier this week, even though that's kind of far-fetched because they just played a game on Sunday. It's only Tuesday. They have to play a game in less than 48 hours here. So we'll see if he can step up. Nick, actually, we'll bring Nick on because we do that sometimes. We want Nick to get his prediction out. Our producer is sitting there in the background running the Twitter, doing a lot of things for Jet Nation Radio and doing a lot of things for both of these, both these shows and the website. So, Nick, can you hear me, man? Do you fall asleep?
No, I'm up. I'm on.
All right. What's up, man? So I just talked about the keys to the game, what I felt like, limiting Tyrod Taylor, not getting a hole, some pretty obvious things. And you are definitely usually a negative Nancy. I believe Brandon probably instilled that quote in my head, or that term, but you definitely seem to pick against the Jets a lot more than I do or Vinny does, and maybe it's for good reason sometimes. But this game is a game where, honestly, if Rex Ryan wasn't there, coming off a short week, coming off a big win, he usually loses these type of games, and it being on Thursday night, big game, I would probably pick the Bills in this one, but I'm going to pick the Jets to win. I'll get my score in a little bit, but, what are some of your keys to the game, what the Jets have to do to win or slow down this Bills defense, and what was your final score for the game, man?
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. I definitely think that a lot of Jets fans that I've been talking to, especially on the Twitterverse, are pretty pessimistic about this game in particular. A lot of people are worried about the way the Jets looked on Sunday, and they're a little bit, the Bills riding pretty high after a pretty handed win against the Dolphins yet again. But, I'm thinking the Jets are going to be able to pull this one out despite that, only because, and this is, I think it's a staggering statistic, how many games, the Thursday night games, the home team wins almost 85% of the time. It's such a tough week on that short week, and the home team has such a home field advantage. And I totally agree with you that they might not have that big of a home field advantage because of how poor the Jets fans have been this year. I'm gonna be there this week, my first game of the year, so hopefully it'll be loud this week. But I mean, we're gonna need it, especially in the beginning of the game, because I think we're gonna have to weather the storm. I think the Bills are gonna come out firing. I think Rex is gonna be able to get them up and excited. I'm not sure how he's gonna be able to handle it once things don't go well, but I still think he's gonna have them excited. And, I'm worried about the safety position. I've been worried about it all year, although in the beginning they looked pretty good with Gilchrist and Pryor, and Pryor's playing out of his mind. And Gilchrist still playing solid ball, but now that we're down to Rontez Miles, I'm extremely worried, especially since Charles Clay is pretty quick and pretty nimble tight end. He's going to be a matchup problem for if Miles has to go up against him. I'm hoping that maybe you put screen on him, but that might not be an option if Cromartie's not playing. So I'm pretty worried about the tight end position when it comes to the Bills. But I know it's funny. It was one of the first games. I'm not too worried about the Jets' offense versus the Bills' defense, even though it is Rex and he is probably inarguably the best defensive mind in the game right now. I'm not too worried about that. I think Fitzpatrick's been playing some solid ball, and I think that the Bills' defense is kind of akin so far this year to what we saw with the Jaguars last week. You know, the Bills are not the same. They're not really adapting to the Rex defense yet. Maybe this will be the week that they do. Hopefully not. But I think that the Jets offense will be okay. I think they'll put up their 20, 21, 24 points. The problem thing I'm worried about is if that's going to be enough and if the Jets secondary can finally get things going. And, you know, with this pass rush you guys talked about earlier, I'm extremely worried because, as you know, a lot of people, they point it out, but I don't think they point it out enough. They're in a 3-4. The most important people for the pass rush are the outside linebackers. And although we have some good defensive linemen, if they're equivalents to defensive tackles in this scheme, because the defensive ends, the outside linebackers, are the ones that have to go in and get the sacks because the defensive ends, the defensive tackles eat up the blockers, and we frankly don't have the talent right now at that position to make an immediate impact. And as much as we're blitzing, we're not getting to the quarterback, which is worrisome. But, I mean, you know, Malden showed some signs, which is a good thing, which I'm excited about. Hopefully he can get going. And I, you know, I think Trevor Riley needs to see some more time. I'm not entirely sure why. I mean, the Jets are obviously no more than us. Hopefully it's because he's not doing too well in practice or something else is going on. But if not, I don't understand why he would not be getting more reps just because of the disappearance of Quinn Coples and Calvin Pace's age and just ineptitude when it comes to being anything more than above average or average outside linebacker. So I think, you know, you hit it. I think you hit the nail on the head. If we contain Tyrod in the pocket, who I think is playing pretty good when he's healthy. And I think that Revis will do a good job against Watkins. I'm not too worried about Watkins. I think that he's the kind of receiver that Revis. I think Revis' weakness is when he faces the receivers who are a lot faster than him because Revis isn't the fastest corner. And I don't think Watkins is exactly a speedster. So I think Revis will be able to keep up with him. I'm more so worried about Clay and Shady if he gets outside toward the sidelines, but if we hold Tyrod in check and we keep their defense under 20 points, I think Jets are going to win, and I think that the score will probably be somewhere around 24-20, but it can go either way.
You know, a lot of good points there, man. You know, you mentioned the tight ends and the running backs. Right now, with Calvin Pryor out and even Deion Bailey out, trotting out the safeties that the Jets are, and I agree with you that Marcus Williams has had a solid year. Like I said, not Earl Thomas or anything like that, but he's a solid safety for us. We're definitely the weakest point of the team right now is the linebackers and the safeties. So that has a lot to do with the middle of the field with the tight ends and then the running game or the passing game to LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor, things like that. It just worries me that, you know, David Harris and DeMario Davis, even though he was a speedster coming out of college, he kind of slowed down. I'm not sure why. But to contain him is a little bit worrisome. Bring up a lot of stats. The 85 win percentage on Thursday nights, which is why we have you here, because you're one of those stats guys, and we love it. So hopefully it's one of those games, but, you know, we'll see. It's Rex Ryan, who is so hot and cold. And before you get off, I know you predicted, you know, 24-20 or somewhere right around there, but I'll take that as your prediction. We talked about the game, but something I talked about with Vinny before, you know, what do you – and I don't like to get into Rex too much, but what do you think about Rex naming IK the captain and then – even coming out today and kind of looking like a buffoon, wearing the Clemson Tigers helmet during the press conference and mentioning kids from Clemson, how good they are and good in school. And, you know, he just looks like an idiot, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have an affinity for Rex because, you know, in my youth, I'm a younger guy than a lot of other Jets fans. And, you know, in my youth, he was really the first guy that brought some success to the Jets because I hadn't been watching the games for too long. But, I mean, it's hard to stick up for him, and it's hard to still like him with the stuff that he's pulling, especially the last couple years with the Jets and now with the Bills. Now that I have no home field advantage, reason to root for him, it's like he didn't learn anything from his tenure here, you know, why things went sour. It's like he's making the same mistakes over again with a less talented roster. So, I mean, I don't think we should be too worried about it because I think it's working in our favor. I think that if he came into this game with a business-like attitude, I'd be worried that he's super focused, but I feel like he's the same old Rex, and I think it'll work out in our favor. I agree with Josh.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Nick, definitely a big thank big thanks go to you for running the show and the Twitter and all those things that you help us out with, writing the previews some of the time. You know, definitely a great producer for us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Anytime, man. Love it. All right, man.
But have a good one. So before we jump off, my score prediction is it hurts me to say the Jets are going to win this because I see this as one of those games where, like last year against the Bills, they just got kind of beat up a lot. Or, you know, in terms of last year, they got beat up pretty badly. Never mind. I'm not going to joke about that. Should definitely say that. But I'm gonna go 24-17 Jets. And the reason being is, you know, we talked about the roster. We talked about containing Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins and LeSean McCoy and negating the pass rush and things like that. But the main reason I'm picking the Jets to win this game is actually because of coaching. Because I think that, like Nick said, Rex Ryan is going to have his players really, really fired up. But I feel it more than likely is going to have them fired up in a bad way where they're too excited and maybe it's a play-action pass and the corner, the safety runs in and you have Brandon Marshall either not covered or one-on-one downfield and the Jets make a big play. And Rex Ryan, just in these big games, he at least the last couple of years, he really hasn't shown up. I know the roster wasn't as talented, but I think Rex Ryan is one of those coaches who just, you know, I'm not the biggest fan. I know Nick was a big fan of Rex. I know Brandon was a big fan of Rex, but I was in the middle. I obviously, during the first couple of years, I loved them, but you start to see his deficiencies come out a lot with the timeouts, the no halftime adjustments, some of the stupid things he said. It just really started to bug me after a couple of years, and obviously that's a little bit easier. The Jets losing a lot to bug me more, but I feel like the Bills are going to have one of those games where they make a big mistake. They get a couple penalties because they're too excited. They want to rush the passer or they want to get off the line of scrimmage to block Wilkerson, get that advantage. You know, I just think that the Jets are going to pull this one out. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. Like the 24-17, I think it's going to be a very, very close game. Really excited. They just have to get over these injuries. You know, me and Vinny will talk about it. Maybe we'll even get Nick on. You know, next week to talk about it, but Cromartie is not playing, but hopefully a guy like Marcus Williams steps up. I think he's, in a couple of snaps he's had, he's actually been better than Cromartie this year, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, what, you know, because they know the name, but if you actually break down the film and watch him, I understand that he played safety against the Raiders, and he looked terrible, but that's not his position, just like moving Antonio Allen to cornerback. You know, it's not a position, it's completely different, even though it seems the same. You know, they're in the secondary, they drop back in coverage, you know, it's completely different, it's the NFL. So I think at this point he might actually be better, at least playing better than Cromartie has. So how long is Cromartie's leash? We want to talk about that next week. We'll see how Randy Bullock does this week. I know he missed two extra points this year, I believe, so we'll see how that shapes up. A lot of things to talk about next week. Kembrell Tompkins. Do the Jets activate Miller? I think it would be a mistake if they didn't. I think he provides something to this team, and a lot of people are saying he's a draft bust when you really break down his game and things. I think he's more of a draft bust because of injuries and not necessarily talent. He made the plays you saw in the last couple of games. In his rookie year, where against the Browns, the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Dolphins, he was a rookie of the month. So he has talent. So activate him, and for one damn time, or finally, Can we see Ridley play? He gives a lot more to this team than Zach Stacy does or Tommy Bohannon. I was really surprised last game, you know, Zach Stacy goes down with an injury and we still don't see Stacy. So we'll see what happens with that. But a lot to talk about next week. Hopefully we're coming off a big win against Buffalo. Put us in a very, very good position at 6-3. More than likely going into Houston at 6-3, ending up being 7-3. And, you know, I understand any given Sunday, we almost lost to the Jaguars last week, but the Texans are just miserable. If we contain, I think Aaron Foster's injured. I'm not sure. He might still be playing, but if we contain DeAndre Hopkins, this offense is just putrid. The defense has been terrible. So we saw, was it Marcus Mariota carve him up, I believe. So most likely 7-3 if we get this win this week. I don't want to look too far into the future, but 7-3, we got the 2-7 Chargers. The Raiders, who have a pretty, you know, decently tough schedule coming up. I think they'll fall a little bit out of contention. You have the Steelers, who are, 5-4, but they just lost Ben Roethlisberger for 2-3 weeks. So the Jets are in a prime position for the AFC to be very, very bad this year, at least the lower-tier teams. And if it stayed as it is right now, the Jets would be going into Indy and they'd be playing the Colts, first playoff game, wild card game. So we'll see what happens. But let's get this W. Beat Rex Ryan, shut him up. Huge game. And like I said, if you're a Jets fan and you're one of those loud people who come out and scream and you're like me and I still don't have my voice back from Sunday, you know, it's a terrible game. If you're going to the game and you're sitting on your phone and texting and you're looking on Twitter and you're looking on Instagram and you're taking 700 selfies, just go home. Like, I understand it's not sold out and nobody's going to be there anyway, but some of the fans the last couple of weeks, honestly, other really than the Browns game, have been embarrassing. You know, telling a person to sit down on third down, a big third down in the game, just shut up, please. I'm not the biggest fan of some of the Jets fans. I think with the way it's going right now, and at least this year with a good team, the Jets are like one of the bottom 10 fan bases in the entire NFL. It's just really, really poor performances from Jets fans. It's not loud there at all. But sorry to be negative before we get off, but we appreciate all the people who are loud and who do listen and who go post in the JetNation.com forums, people who interact with us on Twitter. We thank you, Josh, for calling in. We thank Nick for always being one of the best producers out there. Check out Glenn AceFan23 on Twitter. Writes some really great articles. Actually wrote about that 1,008 passing yards for the last three games. So he's a very smart guy. Very good at stats. We will see you next week, Jet Nation, and let's go get this W. And if you're there, let's be loud. See you later, guys.